happened, dog.
Yeah, I'm impressed. Set it up on the old...
It's all right here.
The old driftwood bench.
The plywood drifter.
It works. Works as a stand.
It's warm out here.
I'm into it.
Modelo time?
Oh, yeah. I haven't had a beer in... Well, since we had one. But then before that, it's been a minute.
Get the natural bird ambiance.
Oh, wow, that tastes good. I've been coming across a lot of birds recently.
You put birds in, like, all your collages?
They just, they're, like, the perfect accessory sometimes. And then, like, I'm also just happening upon them. Like, did you see the one of the last ones I posted? It was, like, this bird it wasn't even a diagram, but it was, like a photo montage, like, lined up, like, kind of how they do skate tricks. But it was just, like, a bird flying. It's, like, different moments of the flight and, like, angles.
Janice follows somebody who raises pigeons.
Oh, sick.
And she did 40 days of... like a newborn pigeon from 40 days, like a photo each day for 40 days, because they're full grown after 40 days, so it's like,
damn.
And then she released a print of all 40 of it, and it's,
are you gonna get that?
They sold out hella quick.
Damn,
it's hella funny because it's like, it looks like an alien at first, and then like every day it just becomes like, it's the weirdest thing.
We all kind of look like aliens at first.
All right, dude. Learning about the world of crypto art.
Yeah. So I'm part of this Discord chat, 3D artists, and basically, like, the one who started it, this woman, Steffi Fung, super sick 3D artist from the UK, and this is basically she's seen a lot of success. Just with social media, and then recently we can get into the terminology later, but she just minted, and I believe that means, like, you put it for sale, or, like, you put it for auction.
Put it on the blockchain?
No, it's, like, you put it just available to be bought.
Just know? In terms of digital artwork?
Yeah.
So, which, like, can then later be incorporated.
Yeah.
But, alright, sorry. I'm not,
no, I'm still learning about it, but anyway, strange. So I'm part of this group, and she put on a chat with, like, other artists in the channel. There's about, like, 20 of us maybe at one point, but the server's like huge. It's like it's over 200 I think right now, but basically they were just like giving their insight from an artist's perspective on kind of like the environment and what it is. I didn't listen to the whole thing, but yeah, I'm learning kind of, I mean, how it works.
Once you start to immerse yourself in the language of it all, too, it's like, uh-huh. Like right now, the big thing is NFTs. Everybody's pushing NFTs. Grimes just made $6 million with NFTs.
Yeah.
Non-fungible tokens.
Okay, I was going to ask you, yeah.
That's the word. And fungible, I think that, I don't even know if I'm saying it right, but the word fungible, the definition of it is that if something's fungible, it's easily replaceable or interchangeable with something similar, like money is fungible. If you raise money for one thing, you could easily spend it on something else or whatever.
It's unique, but, and it can't be replaced with something else.
There you go. Non-fungible is exactly unique, not it's one of a kind, or
one of a kind artwork,
unique in its creation. So it's kind of like what happened with the GameStop thing in terms of the stock market being pushed earlier this year. And then the Bitcoin push, and now NFTs are sort of like the new trending topic.
Yeah.
And it all kind of encompasses this underlying concept that immersing the public into like a digital frame. And once you incorporate like currency into that, then you're talking a whole different kind of a reframing society for the digital aspect.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like all of it is an environment, and it's all new. Like, it's by nature, it's just so new. Like, the terminology is new, the methods by which it's executed are like new, not the art, but like the transaction, right? It's all new, and it's like it's all a study from like an artist's point of perspective, because like the people that are collecting these things aren't necessarily art collectors. And like a big takeaway from the conversation today that everybody's kind of seeing is that like people are drawn to like memeable content, not necessarily like, oh damn, it looks like this artist put, you know, 72 hours into this piece, you know, or the technique on this is like super well executed, and like I'm feeling so strongly about it. It's more of just like, I don't know, it's all new, and I don't think anybody knows, but like to study kind of like the what's taking place and like how people are buying is super interesting. Because, like, obviously as an artist, like, you want to have success. So you want to, like, use these things to measure and, like, aim towards. Yeah, right. And, but it's, like, almost, like, it can't be predicted, like, what people are going to buy.
It's definitely, like, a social experiment of sorts. Because you have legitimate artists, like, people entering the NFT space and then getting that big auction house to accept crypto for the auction and stuff, like, it's definitely like this, it's a wide ranging
some thing. Comedian, from what I understand, he's a comedian, I forget the name. He supposedly pretty much just like had a ghost 3D artist like create something, and then he minted or posted or auctioned the NFT artwork. And he just did one.
Really?
Andy just did one, but he like fully like commissioned another artist to do it for 411
to create the art,
which is literally like a super glitchy, distorted, like deep fried video of someone like casting a fishing rod, and it keeps on looping and it keeps on looping.
That's what's interesting about it, is like,
and it has like a 3D graphic over it that's just like a rotating, like, just character.
Yeah, it's weird because I'm again still wrapping my head around it too, and it's like NFTs can be digital artwork, like a single piece of art, but it can also be videos, it can be music, it can be what band, Kings of Leon, is going to release an album as an NFT.
Oh, damn, I can't wait, yeah. It's what I've been waiting for.
Wait, are you serious? Looks it up immediately.
Oh, man, yeah.
It's very interesting, and I think there's definitely a space for people like such as yourself, or such as like people on the Discord server who aren't, you know, famous artists or whatever that means, to not only like make a name for themselves or get noticed, but also like potentially make serious profits. Cause I mean, Grimes is Grimes and made fucking 6 million or whatever in 20 minutes. And that's just insane,
unnecessary,
unreal shit. But if people are taking this topic seriously and are actually engaged with what's going on in it, my concern is that like it's taking away from actual artists, because is Grimes a real artist?
Oh, no. Yeah, and like, and that's another thing I learned today. It's just like these, I don't know what you'd call them, I guess businesses or these websites, there's a barrier to entry. There's a like an accept for most of them. I know there's some that are like free, or some that you could just like sign up and you're good.
It's behind a paywall.
But I don't know if it's a paywall. It's like clout and influence, and they want the people with the most influence selling on their platform. However, there's someone in the chat that was doing actually, I think, like a not like a master thesis, but they're in school and they're like, after school, like, I'm doing this research, you know, to complete it after I'm done with my degree. But they were essentially like studying the market and like being like, yeah, like even when these companies or these websites take on these artists or non-artists that have like celebrity or clout, It doesn't work. Like, it doesn't work that way. Like, no one is, like, rushing to go buy it. Whereas, like, maybe someone like Beeple, who's more of, like, I would say, like, not niche, but kind of, like, the hero of the people kind of thing. Yeah. Like, and when I say people, I mean, like, artists on the internet.
True artists.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, loosely. Again. Yeah, and, like, that's having success, because I think he's already crashed, like, two sites with his drops.
For sure.
Like, he crashed the one that I tried to get in on Marketplace, I think it was. Mm. And,
That shit's crazy. Like, his work, what he's doing with that is... I mean, the commitment to the project that he's doing, what is it, 5,000
He's been doing it daily for I don't even know how long.
Pieces, and the fact that he started that, whatever, 5,000 days comes out, 10 years ago or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the intent behind whatever he was doing was never going to be blockchaining his artwork and turning it into crypto art and turning it into NFT tokens that people are going to be trading, and it's going to be generating insane, unreal amounts of profit. But it's also like the revelation of the method, because like his art was originally a lot of hand-drawn stuff, right? Like in the early days.
I don't know, is it?
I think it started out with a lot of hand-drawn stuff, and then he immersed himself into the digital realm. And he sort of
kills it.
Killed it, sort He's of like way too set good. A new standard for it. And then for him to be on the forefront of what's going on with this NFT crypto art thing is like definitely, it's changing the art world, you know? And like it's a big deal, because the art world has been a cornerstone to a lot of things, a lot of shady things, a lot of cool things, a lot of culture, a lot of very interesting things. So it's interesting to see that world kind of be transformed right in front of our eyes, like overnight, or kind of watching it happen as we speak.
Yeah, there's a lot of like weird connections I can tend to draw as well, like from it being that, well, from my understanding, cryptocurrency has like a history in like the dark web, and the fact that it's semi untraceable at that point, maybe, I don't know. But in that same vein of being used for some kind of like underground shit, the fact that it's now transitioned to the art world, which also like has a history in like money laundering,
heavy money laundering,
it's just like very interesting to draw these parallels and be like, okay, you know, is there a big play, is it just coincidence? But I think we all know nothing's coincidence. But it's just going to be interesting to see how it plays out, because my gut tells me like something's like not necessarily right about it, that it's gonna, like, I don't think it's gonna have longevity, because it's just, there's just too many weird things about it, and the fact that they're trying to use influence to push it and it's not working, you know?
That's very interesting,
because I think in traditional art, right, influence does push stuff in a sense.
But the world of digital influence is a different beast entirely than traditional cultural influencers, who you can in the traditional
cultural
sense,
influence doesn't have an algorithm either. Right?
That's exactly right. So when you commodify something and quantify it with things like algorithms and marketing systems and talent agencies,
it's like an algorithm fucking up like a naturally occurring thing, and now it's like a mismatch and like an error almost.
It's
right,
a glitch,
because this dude will crash the entire thing and he's just like the hero's champ, people's champ, and they'll try to like bring somebody on who's got like all the right influence on paper, and it just doesn't hit the same.
It's like it's kind of like the parallel to that is what I see with whoever. I want to talk about the August thing too, but that's like, we can divulge into that a second. But whatever is behind Tim Dillon's rise to, like, I don't want to say stardom because it's not that, but he's Tim Dillon, the thing that stood out to me was him talking about being on fucking, what's the stupid app called?
TikTok?
No, the the new one, the
oh,
video.
Clubhouse?
Clubhouse. So that's what he's been pushing, is I'm on Clubhouse, blah, blah, blah. And he's doing his pod, and he's talking about it. First of all, his pods fucking suck, because it's like him, it's either him trying to be way too serious, or it's like him and another comedian bouncing their bits off of each other and like feigning encouragement to each other, like laying,
bouncing their, like,
it's so bad,
attack minded, like direct, yeah, like trying to rip somebody down bits in like a condescending incel kind of way.
It's well said. Yeah. But on this one, he has his homie hitting the computer production, whatever, mm-hmm, like, and he's like, has the floor for his monologue, and he's like, well, I got invited by so-and-so who started the Sway House, TikTok. And I'm like, all right, hold on. Let's pump the brake. And then he goes on to like a 15-minute monologue about how, you know, big tech is the oppressors, and like, it's crazy because he's, you know, just a, he's like, oh, so-and-so invited me, the millionaire TikTok kid invited me so I can go in their chats and, you know, tell some jokes. And I'm like, all right, well, that's wrong to begin with, because he's not funny. So nobody would bring him in for his jokes. So then he's like, oh, well, you know, it's like talking to your captors and, you know, all these people. And it's like, he's clearly one of them, you know, like he's acting like an outsider and he's not.
Then
it's this Clubhouse thing is bizarre to me, because it's another form of like avatar capitalism, like people interfacing. It's not quite there because it's still human to human, but it's in the digital realm and it's via an app and it's invite only and all this shit. But it's like, what is the end game here? Because like, social media has already been proven to be the biggest like circle jerk of all time.
Yeah, well, Clubhouse is an invitation only audio chat iPhone app. Oh, iPhone only environment, baby. Launched in April 2020 by Paul Davidson, Rohan Seth, Alpha Exploration Company. In May 2020, the social networking app valued at $100 million. I've never tried it.
I just started seeing stuff about it, like, their app in the last, like, sucks, 2 months.
So it's an audio chat? Invitation-only audio. Okay, so it's Discord, but you got to be in. And Discord has invites, too. But I mean, I don't. Oh, developer, Elon Musk.
Oh, there we go.
Alpha Exploration Company.
There we go. There it is.
There's a video here. A Clubhouse Explained. Full app walkthrough. Part talkback radio, part conference call, part house party. Clubhouse is a social networking app based on audio chat. Users can listen in on conversations, interviews, and discussions between interesting people. Oh, so a podcast.
So it's like...
on various topics. It's just like tuning into a podcast, but live and with an added layer of exclusivity.
Yeah, all right, there it is, dude.
So secret conversation.
Secret, or quasi-secret, because, like, what Tim is hinting at is that he says it's terrifying that because he's talking to the big tech giants, and that was the framing of the video. Mm-hmm. I can't stand watching it, so I only watched, like, the first 2 minutes. But... like, what is being done with that? Because it's almost like it's too good to be, not even too good to be true, but it's like, what's going on if the, you know, these influential, powerful people are letting their conversations about important stuff, you know, the layman can just tune in and with
an invite?
Well,
it's gotta be top of their mind, especially if they're talking to someone like him, Tim Dillon, who has like a audience and has a podcast and is broadcasting live to, or just broadcasting in general to, you know, the entire world. And it's like, yeah, I mean, what, nothing's private. Nothing is private. Private does not begin to describe what's happening with anything. So
I think it's like, just like the crypto art thing, and just like whatever Clubhouse, whatever the direction that Clubhouse is steering. I mean, the fact that Elon Musk is the funding creator of Clubhouse, and then back to the subject of Grimes making $6 million on NFTs, there's a direction here. And
sure.
It's like the internet is trying to mimic real life, or real life is starting to actually be the internet kind of thing. It's like what you said to me the other day that like really, really clicked.
Synchronicity.
Like what really clicked with me that you brought up was all gas, no brakes is a meme in the content that it produces, but it also actually, as a separate entity, produces meme content.
Yeah.
So it's like, it is a meme, but it's also making memes, and it's happening in real life, and it's a podcast, and it's a video series, and it's social media, and it's all these things.
And like, what is it? Is meta, is that the right way to describe?
I think that's it.
Right? Yeah. meta. What is that? What does that like mean? Do you know?
Meta,
like, metaphysical, meta...
God damn it, putting me on the spot.
No, you don't have to. No. I'm trying to figure it out. My understanding people is say like it all the time, like, just so lightly.
One in the same,
like, yeah.
Part, like, ah, yeah, I'm sure you get a good definition of it. But
it makes sense to me.
It's like...
So would you say that's like a mirror for the internet and real life?
Yeah, there's something going... There's something has always been the case, or kind of the point, right? With the internet being like a connection tool was the initial, like,
yes,
everybody will be so connected and whatever. But it's morphed into more than that, because the internet's taking everything from the real world and like kind of absorbing it, i.e. cryptocurrency, crypto art, conversations, Discord, Instagram. And then you have things like another point you made to me the other day that like really hit was you're kind of shit talking Instagram and why it's not a useful app for artists who are
trying to
share their work or whatever. And then you made the point that Instagram is now a shopping app, right? Yeah. Like it's a shopping app, and
with advertisements.
That's what they push now, is it's everything is shopping. Like they're literally tagging products with like links to put it in your cart.
Paid partnership posts. And yeah.
It's kind of like, too, like you said, Instagram isn't allowing TikTok watermarks on the platform. Like, that's hella funny to me.
Yeah, it seems like that's the only clear distinction of competition that I see. You know, like because, I mean, it seems... that like a lot of these apps and just companies in general are kind of controlled by like blanket ownership, right?
It's different investment firms and individuals.
So it's hard to tell like which ones are against each other, which ones are together, and they all seem to be together.
Yep.
But TikTok is definitely the one that seems to be in opposition with like the Facebook monolith, like the big
TikTok's god.
Yeah, right.
TikTok is the god of the social media realm, because first it was MySpace. MySpace got quickly pushed to the side when Facebook rose to prominence. Zuckerberg, Mr. DARPA himself. Then Facebook got a little run for its money when Vine too. Vine's a good one, but
Vine's in there too.
What was the downfall of Vine?
I don't even know. I think it was just done.
Yeah, I don't know either.
There's so many people that know a lot more about it.
Look into that one.
I mean, that's what we're seeing with TikTok and Instagram Reels. It's just a derivative of Vine.
I was gonna say, Facebook rose to prominence, got a run for its money from Snapchat. They bought Snapchat, correct? Mm-hmm. I believe so.
I believe.
And then Instagram took on a life of its own. Instagram got really big, and they bought Instagram. And now they had a good 5 years of where Instagram, Facebook, but really Instagram kind of carrying the weight for it, was the platform, right? Like everybody, you know, it was a big deal. Instagram stole the stories concept from Snapchat. And now TikTok comes on the scene. TikTok is beholden to different entities than what Facebook is beholden to, because they're a derivative of SoftBank Japan, which works with China business, the model big time, but also has the Saudi sovereign wealth fund money, which is like one of the largest independent wealth funds in the world. Basically like a large fraction of the world's wealth is run through the Saudi Sovereign Wealth Fund, which is all derived from their oil originally. Mm-hmm. But now Saudi Arabia is actually moving into artificial intelligence, automation, and robotics. So that's where TikTok comes into play. From via SoftBank, ByteDance is the corporation that owns TikTok. TikTok, for whatever reason, however they did it, is wildly popular across all age groups, across all cultures, subcultures, whatever. And now Instagram, Facebook is seeing, I guess, a challenge. Because I agree with you completely that all these corporations and apps and stuff seem to kind of all be pushing towards the same thing. And there's hints of competition, but I don't really buy that. Yeah. But they did the whole bullshit buying part of TikTok for the U.S. market or whatever. Mm. But then Instagram introduced Reels as, like, their TikTok competitor or, like, mimicker.
Yeah.
And it's like, what?
They're fighting for our attention. Attention is, like, the biggest commodity here. It's all attention, and if you could draw attention to a shopping app, fucking...
Because then it's everything.
Capitalism, yes.
Because it's capitalism, it's avatar capitalism, because it's all digital. It's all, and it's interesting because once you attach your financial status or your purchases and your shopping habits to your social media profile, then your social media profile is like a mini capsule of like your personality, right? Oh, yeah. Your likes, your attention, what you post, not to mention the fact that all these apps are gathering your biometric data, your facial recognition, your vocal biometrics, all this stuff that like is your unique to you, you know? So once you attach shopping to that, you're kind of in a new world. And that's what I mean by the internet mimicking or kind of absorbing real life activity is, I don't know, TikTok's like really funny. But also, whatever is being built with the massive data farming, harvesting that's going on with that type of thing and the direction it can kind of go, i.e. Instagram using Marketplace and stuff. Mm. It's very, very interesting.
Yeah.
It's happening quick.
That's like the fundamental concept of advertising, right? Is to like predict what you want and almost shape it, you know? So if they have all your data, your tendencies, your likes and dislikes, it's almost like a no-brainer. It's like it's a fixed game.
Exactly. It's a fixed game. And game is the word because that's exactly what it is. It's a game. And to your point, it's the algorithms and stuff and the predictive data analytics aren't just about predicting anymore. It's about shaping, like you said. Mm-hmm. It's... Prediction goes a long way, and that's what all this stuff was sort of built on, was predictive data analytics. And that's kind of Amazon's thing, too, is, like, your shopping cart and, like, processing orders before you've actually checked out and, like, that knowing that you're going to buy it and just rapidly expediting the entire process. But in this case, when you're attaching your biometric information and stuff and your social media to the shopping, it's not about predicting it anymore. It's actually about knowing... The algorithm with some certainty will be able to put something in front of you under a certain circumstance and almost know that you're going to buy it, you know?
Or at least, like, engage with it for more than an average amount of time. And that's, like, you know, that's what the advertisers want to see. Everybody wins.
See those numbers.
Everybody wins in this one. We all eat.
Yeah, it's the advertising. It's this weird conglomeration that, it's so many different things, but when you actually look at it, it's kind of all the same thing, where it's finance and social leverage, or like social shaping, cultural shaping. Mm-hmm. And it's all derivative of the same thing. And it's weird because that represents a small minority of the actual human population that's engaged in the logistics of carrying these things out. But yet it relies solely on the engagement of us, of you and me, of our peers, of the, you know, all of mankind.
That's why there's a reward system. you post more, algorithm pushes you more.
A game.
Yeah, pretty much. It is what it is. It's a game, yeah. It's very weird. I mean, because we're like such like a wild and unpredictable like people.
So we were, or are we, or
are we? That's
were,
a good question.
Or were we?
Yeah. I'd like to think we still are.
I think we are.
But I think the game here, yeah, is to try to herd all the cattle, and be like, all right, you know.
I think that's it exactly. Is that the introduction of the game in general, from a base layer, talk about capitalism, mm-hmm. just the financial system of capitalism for the last however many centuries, is a game introduced to the wild, unpredictable human that corners us, it corrals us mm-hmm. into a game. And a lot of people, some people find great success, some level of success, so they kind of forget about the game that's being played.
Mm-hmm.
And it's allowed a lot of people to sort of gain complacency or kind of willful ignorance to what's afoot. But now with this the digitalization of the game and the acceleration of these algorithms and these things that are not human systems make it so that the game, if the playing field was this big before, like the Hunger Games, it's like the built environment, now you see the dome over you, and now you know you can only go this far. And the more that this digital realm kind of takes over that financial game, it's gonna corral you. You know, next thing it's you're in a built environment with a dome around you, and the next thing you know it's like a jail cell, you know, or the like Katniss Everdeen is running from the fucking saber-toothed tiger monster bear or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, like just introducing elements that
like the Facebook campus,
dude,
where you eat shit, sleep, work out, whatever else, whatever humanly desire you could possibly
get
want.
Get a massage.
Get a massage. Clean massage, probably. Yeah. But
That's a good point, too, is that as much as we despise techies for their, like, just complete oblivious nature to reality, their disconnection from, you know, the true human connection that you and I are very intimately familiar with, is they're also sort of, I don't want to use the word victims because that's not, they're propping it up purposely. Mm-hmm. They're kind of like test subjects or like beta tests for mm-hmm. a lot of this stuff.
Well, it's like how far can you disconnect somebody, you know? It's like, because.
And like, have them like it.
Inherently, I think from birth we're all connected, right? We just know it. And it's something that we either slowly drift away from. Most of us are slowly drifting away from it. I think it takes a level of awareness to be like, oh shit, like I'm getting further away from something I know is right. And it's like if you could separate someone that much from like who they really are, it's much easier to build like a fake environment and to have them buy in and be like, yeah, I'll boo Soylent, yeah, all week, just. Keep the computer in front of me, keep this Soylent in me, and you know, as long as we got a happy hour at 1 p.m. on Friday, which is non-existent now, definitely not. I mean, where are they getting their happy hours?
Snatched it right away.
How
from
are they eating snacks? Oh, we got companies for that, though.
We got snack delivery, don't worry.
Perfect Foods. What is it? Good Egg.
Instacart.
Yikes. I think Instacart's the nastiest one, huh?
Instacart's the nastiest.
They're not even healthy.
The nastiest one because, like, their big thing now is that they just partnered with Walmart.
Oof.
And, you know, Walmart has been...
staple of health.
Has been a staple of health and human development.
It's like a detriment to your mental health just to go into a Walmart.
Dude. So I mean, hectic. There's, like, a certain element of, like... good people watching and maybe some
good watching,
some good yeah. utilitarian tools or knickknacks yeah. that you might be able to pick up, like my Corona bucket hat.
Okay.
But,
yeah.
you know, other than that,
good find.
The Instacart thing is crazy, dude. Like, talk about disconnected. And this is sort of a theme with the gig economy and app-based work.
TaskRabbit.
So that, think of TaskRabbit and like Instacart. This is what the, let's just call them the shapers, or like the powers that be, the people behind the predatory finance that's behind like social media and these apps and stuff, take TaskRabbit. Like, that's, they admit that that's the future. That's what they envision for the future of work. Reskilling, task-based economy, gig economy, and to the point I was making, like, when you're engaged, when your work and your livelihood is based on your iPhone and an app, then the disconnect that happens, and I really like that point you made about how we're all kind of being disconnected from birth, and that makes it easier to shape our environment and kind of control our direction, is that these app-based workforce things are really masterful at creating that disconnect, because
we got people out here doing Uber on those scooters. No, sorry, not Uber, Uber Eats, or like delivery services on the scooters.
Using an app to rent the mode of transportation to do the work for the other app. That's a good
point. That's an environment right there.
And that's an environment. And like Allison pointed out in my pod with her, was that the like the bikes, the bike share apps and the e-bikes and the e-scooters,
tracking, huh?
They're Internet of Things devices. They're sensor devices and they're tracking devices.
That's so like the geo device.
Geo tracking.
On a small scale.
Geo tracking. Geofencing is something that's like big in the...
Oh, I already know that term.
Uber.
Yeah.
Uber is actually a geofencing company. Like a huge... It's a huge
they
cornerstone.
They pull your drivers
to
based
what
on your
do.
Location.
The disconnect, though.
Yeah.
So, Instacart shoppers.
Oh, yeah.
100%, but just to benefit of the doubt, 90% plus of these people, a lot of them are, like, unemployable. Like, I don't know how else to put it. Because, it's almost, like, awakening to me to, like, see how disenfranchised some people have become based on other factors of the world that...
That's almost
been,
like the prime example also of the disconnect, right?
That's like the real world things that disenfranchise
disconnect
people.
Disconnect them so much that they can only work for this like shitty app.
Exactly. A shitty app. And they'll pretty much hire anybody from what I can gather. So they'll give you a chance to, you know, put yourself on the line for this shitty app. But the way I try to describe it to people when they're like, I'm like, it's so hard working around these people who are like kind of swarming the store that I work in at all times. It's like if the iPhone attempted to embody a human being, and then the iPhone was like trying to interact on a human level. That's like what an Instacart shopper feels like. Is there's no like, hi, hello, no excuse me, no this, no that. Like, next thing you know, you're doing your work, you're stocking the shelves or whatever, and then there's just somebody standing next to you holding...
As you put it in, they take it out.
Holding an iPhone, just... iPhone with a picture just next to you, and that maybe they'll say something, maybe they won't. They'll just look at you, blank stare, hold up the iPhone with, like... And there's a picture,
hey,
like...
Hey, nice photo, guy. Yeah?
Done that before.
Yeah, that'd be my favorite.
Nice.
Nice. Nice.
Cherry tomatoes, just like, boom, and I'm like, have, like... cans of beer in my hand, and I'm just like, dude, look, like, I'm stocking the beer right now. I work in the beer and wine department. Those are tomatoes, okay? Like, see that over there where all the other fruits and vegetables are, that big area, it's like bright and colorful, it's very obvious. That's where it's gonna be. Okay, but where? Show me. I'm not gonna show you. Like, you're gonna have to do it yourself. And it's not that I take pleasure in like being mean to people
and
being
not,
like, you know, disconnected, but it's at the point where like I just don't
have
the time or
job.
The energy to like engage with these people, because like, you can only actually help them so much, because you know, okay, you help them find the cherry tomatoes, then it's going to be on to the next thing, and you're like, oh yeah, well, you helped me, so it's like,
hey bud, go take another sip of Soylent, come back, and
it's like the life raft
vegetation.
That's like, you have the, it's at its limit, and somebody wants to get on, you're like, nah, sorry, I can't help you, dude, like, you're drowning. You're either going to have to learn how to swim or drown, you know? Like, I can't help you.
It's
not
tough,
my job.
Man. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The disconnect. Dude, TaskRabbit, what the fuck is
that? Yeah. I ordered, you got to see them. I ordered these pegboards from IKEA. And, are you familiar with pegboards?
I think
it's like the stuff you put. Careful. Is those they're used for like workstations, workbenches, right? Like actual workbenches, and they're basically a wall. It's like a composite wood, recycled wood.
Yeah.
Board, or sometimes they're metal, and they have just these like this grid of pegs, and then you peg in like containers, you peg in
tool
hooks. So it's like a wall to mount. It's to mount your tools on. So I've done it now, but I got one, and at the bottom of like the IKEA checkout, it was like, do you need a TaskRabbit? It's like, of all things, like IKEA, who's like notoriously known for having like the most convoluted, just backwards instructions on how to put their shit together. It's like, oh, on top of that, do you want us to have someone come and help you put it together?
It won't be us. We got the app for you.
No one represented by us either. No one that is an expert in IKEA installation language. This is somebody who puts things together every day does things every day for our people for a living. So that's their expertise, is service.
General service. And that's is kind of, talk about a game, is like, imagine if we were all beholden to like
service character. Work. Service character, art character,
handyman,
yeah.
Renaissance
does
man.
Everything with a hammer, but it comes out. Builds computer with hammer, bang 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 bang.
putting a square peg through a round hole.
Yeah, pretty much that sums it up
what all this shit really comes down to. It's like when people talk about like Bitcoin and cryptocurrency and how like, oh, the GameStop thing, oh, we're wrecking the system. It's like, no, like it's meant to not make any sense. It's meant to be fucked. Like it's their rules, their game. Anything can change at any time. As long as we keep playing along, we're going to keep getting round pegged into a square hole or whatever, you know, like it's not something we can win.
That's, yeah, it really isn't, huh?
It's all something comes down to, like, so we were talking about disconnecting on a human level. It's like, now it's at the point where the way that we win or even kind of continue to exist in the world that we want is we disconnect from their systems.
Yes.
And that's easier said than done, but definitely. It's just at that point where, like, I don't know, reality is changing so fast, and it's clearly at the hands of technology that all these things are happening. So at what point do we, like, put our foots down? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, what, like, all throughout history, however much of history is accurate, like it's like there's always been a boiling point. There's always been a point at which there's a, like, authoritarian activity is met with resistance. And it's like, it's a whole different game now. I feel like it's not the same front you're battling on. It's way too deep at this point.
Exactly. And I think, first of all, like, in the last year, have we seen the game rapidly change into something unrecognizable. But the game that I think is being played now is, so, like, you just said boiling point, that there's always been a boiling point. And it's almost like the entire purpose of all this technology, the advent of this advanced high technology that we're all so engaged with, that we're surrounded by, it's almost like the point of it has been to quantify that boiling point that history has produced and find a way to contain it.
Like misdirecting aggression during a pandemic. I came to this conclusion maybe only about a week and a half or 2 weeks ago, and I don't think it was by my own devices. I think I was watching something, podcast probably, and or listening, and I was just like, oh wow, that, for all the social justice that needed to happen 50 years ago already and is still not been resolved in this day and age.
Lingering
and boiling as well. People are dying. And it's like, oh, if we could deflect this whole social control experiment of 2020 into something else, we might not take all the heat for it, and like that might actually exhaust people. Not to say that the situation is exhausting, but exhaust your energy into another thing so that you don't have enough energy to even think about being up against or opposed to what is the main play.
Yep.
You know?
Dude. That's very well said.
Like, it's
that's
a really classic misdirection. Right?
No, it's exactly that, because, like I was saying, it's like the boiling point now is being quantified to where they can develop strategies of mitigation, mitigating the boiling. Like, all right, it's getting hot in here. Dilute half of it, half the heat source to this, which is, it's like, and it's not about undermining the issues that we're talking about as being, they're not distractions per se, but they're, it's all coming from, it's top down, you know, it's vertically integrated, all from the same thing. So like, fight over here, fight over there, but really there's the big picture going on here.
We'll feed you a, you know, an up, like a one up.
Exactly. And
to cool it down.
So what is it about boiling frogs? if you drop a frog in boiling water, it'll fucking spring out of there. It'll react. It'll get out. It'll struggle. Like, but if you put a frog in a cold pot of water and then draw the heat up slowly, it'll just boil to death. And I think that your boiling point example of like what history has produced, and how algorithms and data collection and high technology has quantified what that boiling point is and how it comes to be, it's like, they're learning how to build the mechanism that's gonna boil the frogs. You know, like, we're the frogs, and I think that it's safe to say the heat is, they turned on the heat.
Yeah.
And it would be foolish to deny that the heat source is on. And as long as we recognize that, it's like, we can't lose sight, because
I think recognition is the biggest tool or the biggest advantage you can have in this situation, because, I mean, it seems like there's nothing we could do about it.
That's what they would want you to think.
Sure. And it seems like this is just the way things are going, and it's not going to stop. The train's going to keep going. It weighs however many tons. There's momentum. It's not going to stop.
When an immovable object meets an unstoppable force.
There you go, yeah.
We need to be the immovable object. Humanity needs to be the immovable object that says, this is who we are, this is what we want, this is who we are, period. And we're not gonna go along with this, because the end of this system, what we're talking about, like, down, like, long game of fucking gig economy and all this garbage and like digital reality and all this stuff, the end game, and it's not like, the end game is the erasure of this, of humans. And like, it's not about like, I'm not talking like mass extinction or anything. It's just the loss of like the human spirit will be absorbed. The human spirit will be absorbed by AI or what, you know, like, it'll be all this stuff that we do will be taken over, automated, whatever, fed into this fucking bullshit machine that we all see playing out before us. So I think little things make a difference. Knowledge makes a difference. Awareness makes a difference. Communication makes a difference. But recognition is huge. And that's why I want to take this zine and find a way to capture the darkness of, like, the digital reality and rip it back from it and put it into the physical realm.
The promise of us.
Take it back. Utilize some of what it's created, but then put it in our hands and see what happens. That's what I mean by, like, find a way to make some real life NFTs to, like, go along with the zine.
I mean, art, speaking from an artist's point of view, has always been the most transformative experience for me in regards to my own psyche and my beliefs and how I, like, step forward in life. Film, painting, literature, these are all things that have inspired me outside of my body to step into a new energy that I feel like is building myself up, and that is healing the bad parts of the world, the bad parts of this universe we exist in. And I mean, I don't know how many others you know, synchronized with that sentiment, like the fact that art can be transformative. But there's got to be some, I think there should be some kind of media that is a catalyst for transformation in regards to the, like, the dehumanization of us in this moment.
There's a universal understanding there for sure. You just got to strike the right chord with different people, I think.
But, like, is art the medium? You know, I'm not saying yes or no.
Yes.
I'm just, the question that I'm asking is, I think, like, the answer, what is the medium?
The answer for me, I think, is yes. But art obviously has so many forms. And in that regard, I think art is one way of labeling it. To me, it's the archetype of creation.
Yeah, and expression.
Creation and expression that is that unifying, universal, humanizing element.
And circling back, like, what a great way to devalue and, like, dehumanize art other than, like, crypto art.
Put it into a fucking computer.
And I'm not at all drawing the connection between the currency. I'm just drawing the connection between, like, the
creation
the
itself.
The light nature of it, the like, it's so gone in the wind. It's fleeting,
always fleeting. It's the absorption of something sacred into something profane, which is the digital AI.
And it's like, it's almost a direct reflection of, like, putting it in that environment and being, you know, like, let's put art in the cryptocurrency environment. Oh, it's weird. Why is it weird? It's not what we're supposed to be doing. I think that's why it's weird. I think that's why it feels
weird. This doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, how are people making hundreds of thousands of dollars, like, on their nice art that otherwise, you know, by traditional means wouldn't have ever made that money? And it's not about the money, but it's almost about, like, the energy.
Yep.
That is into one, you know, it's...
It's not saying they don't deserve the reward of it.
Of course.
The fact that it's clearly, it's like broken on purpose.
It's not natural at all.
It's corrupted. It's wrong. It's inherently bad. And it's like, okay, great. I'm glad that you found success and you're, like, doing well in life. Awesome. But maybe this isn't it. Like, maybe this is not what we should be doing. It's like, art, natural art being absorbed into the digital realm, crypto art, whatever. It's just like architecture. Like, look what modernism has done to architecture, which architecture is an art form. Architecture replacing sacred buildings, like, where the architecture, the creation of these buildings, their visual representation is just...
You know, it looks beautiful.
It's next to godliness. Like beauty, sure, there's a such thing as beauty standards, but there's a such thing as natural beauty. And
golden ratio, which occurs in nature.
Thank you. People from the past were connected to something larger than themselves and larger than whatever the fuck this internet world is bringing upon ours. Something sacred. And if you take one look around San Francisco, it's a hodgepodge of the most beautiful, most nostalgic, most emotionally connective energies surrounding you with a disgusting computer...
Brutalist
computer grid... like pseudo luxury menagerie of ugliness, you know, like all these cookie cutter condos, and they all look the same with the metal facades and the shit bay windows and like fucking intentionally rusted side panels to add like the like brutalist industrial aspect for no reason.
And you can get a discount on TaskRabbit if you need it furnished and interior designed. You do not have to lift a finger. Get somebody else to do it for you. You don't even have to worry. You can get your groceries delivered and your interior design done without you even being there. Rent the furniture so that you don't ever have to own it. You can give it back when you relocate to wherever the fuck you came from. This is... It's so fucking
And
weird.
If you sign an 18-month lease, you get a Peloton and a Samsung Smart TV included.
And a sex robot.
And a sex robot.
With five hands.
No.
Tell you, man, that's where it's going.
We're there, dude.
We are there, yeah.
We're there. And, like, for me, for you, I know it's, like, easy to refuse that. And to recognize it for what it is. But
it is and it isn't.
I can see how people get drawn in. and it's sad. It makes me sad. But then, I don't know, man, like, it's easy, it's, for me, it's easier to connect to the realness. Like, this feels real, even though we're doing, like, a technologically derivative thing by recording this conversation.
Because this is the medium now, this is the environment.
So we're taking something natural and kind of, like, hijacking the technological process and kind of incorporating it into our lives. But, I mean, dude, like, walking around the city any day of the week is just fulfilling and lovely and beautiful and, like, I don't know, smiling at people.
Do I miss that? Yeah.
Saying hi to people. I like, there's an old man on the street today, old Asian dude, and he was rocking a 5-panel Huff triple triangle, like, old worn hat that looks like it was at least 5-10 years old. Like, and I just was like, yo, dude, nice hat. And he just, like, gave me the biggest smile and just nodded his head and kept walking. And I was like, see, like, that's it right there.
Yeah. We're all that we have left, I think, at this point.
That's it, man.
We're all that we have.
We're all that we have. Utopia is a scam. Scene coming soon. Real life NFTs included.
Real life NFTs. No bathwater.
No bathwater.
Just art.
Just artwork. Oh, yeah. Salud.
So we wrap on that.